say again that we're thankful to have the opportunity to come this way. It's already been said, but we'll say it again, that we appreciate everyone who's come out tonight. I hope that as you've come this way, that inasmuch as you're coming to the house of the Lord, that you come for the reason, for the purpose of attending to what thus saith the Lord. That is, attending to what that is brought from the Word of God. And I hope and trust that you'll be prayerful and try to pay attention to what's brought in a prayerful way as we have the Word of God brought to us. There's ample and much opportunity to receive of the blessings of God if we would give attention to what that's said. Not because necessarily that we're the ones who said it, but because what's brought is from the Word of God. I'm not here to entertain. I'm not here to put on a show for anybody. I'm just a regular person. I have a job back in Tennessee. I work on equipment. I'm a type of a mechanic, industrial electrician type person. I'm just a regular person. I come dressed this way tonight out of respect. I dress this way because I come to try to do the Lord's work, and He's led me out after being saved, after being born again, and Him leading me to unite to His church. He called me to preach. I didn't just think that preaching would be a good thing and take it up. The reason I stand here is because the Lord called me to preach. I can take you back to where I was at, and I can explain and describe what it was like when the Lord called me to preach. It was so real. To tell you the truth, I was more afraid not to preach than I was to preach. And I still stand that way today. But I need the Lord's help. Just because He called me to preach, that don't mean that. It doesn't mean that I just automatically know everything. I have to study. And I need the Lord's guidance. And I ask you to pray that the Lord would indeed help me bring those things which He sees are the most helpful tonight. If you're here tonight and you're lost, that is, you can't relate to being saved. If you're in that condition, I want you to know I'm glad you're here. I'm not glad that you're lost, but I'm glad you're here. Because you need to hear what God's provided for you. I can tell you about when I got saved. We can tell you about what happened today for Brent when he got saved. We can relate to those instances and tell you about it, let you know that it's real, let you know that God deals with you in a real way, in hopes that you would seek the Lord to be saved yourself. We desire that for you. God wants you to be saved, but you're going to have to go and seek the Lord yourself to be saved. We desire that for you. But as you're here, then we're glad that you're here, but we ask you to give attention to the Word of God. We want to read tonight out of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John is what sometimes is one of the little Johns, back next to Revelation. There's the Gospel of John, which is between Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, but 1 John is back. If you go to the Revelation and go forward, you'll run into 1 John pretty quick there. Now to 1 John chapter 4, we want to start reading with the first verse. And sometimes when you're trying to follow along, I know we just try to go and follow the leadership of the Lord, follow the leadership of the Spirit as we go and point out and bring out these different scriptures. And if we get to seem like we're flipping around, I hope that you'll hear what's brought more than worry about flipping around. So we want to begin with the first verse out of 1 John chapter 4. And here we find it written. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is of that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Well, the mistakes we may have made, this gives us a reading lesson out of 1 John chapter 4. We've read from verse 1 down through verse 6 for our reading lesson. I notice in the scriptures here that it's called our attention that there are two spirits. And we're told plainly that we're to try the spirits. I would say this, that in this letter, as we realize when any letter is written, this is part of the Bible, obviously, but this was written originally and it was in a letter format. If you was writing a letter to somebody, you would have an audience. You would have somebody that you meant to receive it, that you're sending it to, who you're sending that letter to. And here I notice that the Apostle John, he was writing this to those who, he says in the beginning of this, that he has sent this to these who that these things are right to you, that your joy may be full. He's explaining as he's laying out the opening part of this letter that these are to those who have not only been saved, but have stepped out to follow the Lord and serve him in his church. Now, with that in mind, he's saying, now those of you who stepped out to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord. See, it's very important that we know that as servants of God, the church that the Lord set up, now he gave it a commission. He gave it a work to do. And that work that he entrusted to his people, that is the work, that's the purpose that God has in mind for all of us, men, women, boys, girls. He has a purpose for all of us. And that purpose is that we would understand that in this world's coming to an end in a hurry. This world is going to be burned up one day. It's going to go. It's going to pass away. We're warned to not take the attitude of those who lived back before the flood. This world has already been destroyed once by a flood. The people who lived back before the flood, they were warned that God's judgment is coming. The vast majority of the people who lived then ignored God, ignored the warning from God, and because they ignored God's warning, they died. They perished. The flood caught them not prepared. God tells us don't be like them. The marks of that flood have been left upon our world today. And so we are told, even now scientists, they look around sometimes and they say, you know, these things that happen on the earth, all you got to do is look at it and say, now look, all that it took for that to happen, people, was just a little water and a whole bunch of time. Take a little water and a whole bunch of time and it'll create things like the Grand Canyon. It'll create the marks on the earth. So it didn't take a flood. But you know what they deny and what they reject is the fact that that very same hole with a little water and a lot of time, you create that same big hole with a lot of water and a little time. Reverse it, just like God said in the Bible. There's marks upon the earth, plenty of marks on the earth to point out that indeed God has done just exactly what he said he's done, and the historical record says though man wants to reject God. That brings us to our point. Our point here is that the Bible warns us not to believe every spirit because that we're to try the spirits because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, why is it important that we know this? Well, in the Bible, the Lord has told us that God is a spirit and that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If God is going to be worshipped by mankind, if we're going to strive
to be honest with ourselves and be honest before God, we need to understand what it's going to take to truly serve God. This that God sets before us tonight is that there are different spirits in the world, and that we're to try them so that we can distinguish between God and those opposing spirits who would lead us astray, those who he says align with these false prophets. Now, if we were going to compare this, no doubt lots could be used to make the comparison. But we might start over in the book of Luke and think about where the Lord Jesus Christ, during his personal ministry, it's a historical fact that a man by the name of Jesus walked this earth about 2,000 years ago. And that man, Jesus, all the things that were associated with his life go beyond explanation, beyond scientific experimental explanation. This man, Jesus, he came on the scene apparently out of nowhere. In all that had been prophesied, all that had been given from God, all down through the ages of time, God, when he delivered his people, a people who we know as Israel, when he delivered them out of Egypt in the long ago, it's a historical fact that God brought plagues upon Egypt, a prospering nation, a nation filled with plenty. But when God sent for his people to be turned loose out of Egypt, and Egypt refused to turn them loose, in the matter of just a few days, God destroyed that nation with plague after plague after plague. That then, that little people known as Israel, they proceeded forth out of Egypt, and God brought them into a land, even though they were a small and feeble nation. They overcome vast nations in a land that God gave to them. And in that people, he sent messages time and again that's been preserved for all the peoples of the earth, that he was sending his son, and his son, all that was told of him, all that was foretold about Jesus coming, he fulfilled those things about 2,000 years ago. This Jesus, after his death on the cross, his burial and resurrection on the third day, he said this, Christ said this, having been seen of over 500 people at one time, over 500 witnesses seen this man who had been nailed to a cross, died, and put into a grave. They witnessed that this man, 3 days later, came back out of the grave because it was impossible for death to hold that man. That man overcame death, the only one. And what God tells us in the scriptures is why that he overcome death is because he wasn't just merely a man. He was the very Son of God, sent from God, became absolutely one with humanity in the virgin birth. Came, absolutely fulfilled every point, everything that we as men and women, anything that we do wrong, he fulfilled the law. He absolutely met the standard of righteousness on all those points, never breaking the same things that we break, so that death couldn't hold him. But us, if we ourselves try that, death would carry us to hell because we're guilty. But what we talk about in salvation is freedom from that guilt in Jesus. Deliverance from that in Jesus. Now, Jesus, before he left, he gathered people together, people who had been saved, people who not only had been saved but came and committed to following him, would give their lives to him, to follow him. He called that people his church. He said, now this, you're my church. And he said, I'm going to give you something. I'm going to send something back here, though I'm going away to heaven. I am going to send a personal representative to be with you. This he called the Comforter. I notice over in the book of John, I guess I'm going to start on this side first, it comes to mind. In John chapter 14, he says this to his people here. He says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. and I will pray the Father. This is verse 16, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now the Lord, he committed that he was going to keep the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, right with his people, with his followers, until the very end when he comes back to get them. I think about over in Matthew 28, before the Lord ascended back to where he is right now. Now, the Lord's back at the right hand of the Father right now. But I can feel him right here among us. What we feel, though, is his Spirit, the Comforter who he sent back, who he said there in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, he said, after telling the church there, after his resurrection, he said, all authority, all power, all authority in heaven and earth is given to me. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. Notice there, if you go back and you study and just look into the Bible and see what the Bible says, the Bible tells us there that the whole world wasn't standing there when he said that, but his little church. He told that little church, he said, now all authority is given to me. Now you go and you teach all nations and you baptize those who have called, those who have received this, those who have been born again. You baptize those in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Amen. I noticed that the Lord promised there to his little group, to his church. He says to them, I'm going to be with you all the way to the end of the world. And I believe that. I believe that. The Lord cannot lie. And he said, I'm going to be with you. How is he with us? He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That is, you subject yourself unto him. You follow him. You don't allow yourself to be led off by something else, but you commit yourself to following him. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. The world may go on after we die. Let me tell you, the secret of the followers of Christ, go through this life, and even though things may go wrong in your life, you can always count on that you're never alone. People may leave you. People may misunderstand you and forsake you, but the Lord is right there all the way. Kind and compassionate is he. Now, he won't stand with you when you do things wrong. He's not going to do that, but he's there willing to forgive you if you'll repent. That is, you'll seek his forgiveness. He will when you're willing to give it up and come on and try again to do things right. Now, he says this, though, of the church. This comforter comes, he is going to lead you and he's going to guide you into all truth. Now notice the reading lesson. The reading lesson says this. It said, don't believe every spirit, but you try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This would bring me back to Luke and in chapter 4. Now Luke chapter 4, I notice. In Luke chapter 4, this is the place, the historical account. This happened in our history. There are significant events that have happened in our history. One of those significant events was George Washington becoming the first president of this country. That's a significant event in the history of this world. Another significant event in our history is there really was a general by the name of Alexander the Great. He led all of Greece to conquer all of the civilized world in just a short period of time. That's a significant historical fact. Another historical event that happened was a man by the name of Jesus, the one sent from God. He came and was baptized by the man John the Baptist. Jesus. And after being baptized, he was led of the Spirit out into the wilderness where the devil met him there. And the devil tempted him after he had fasted for 40 days. One of the things that happened during this critical historical event in the history of man was that this man Jesus, the Son of God, fully the Son, the Emmanuel, that means God with us, fully like us, but fully God, the Emmanuel. Here we find this. It said the devil took him up, this is verse 5, took him up into a high mountain, and he showed to Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power, now you think about that, think about the ability to show all the kingdoms of the world, everything. He showed this to the Lord, and he said, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. We get a little glimpse at the devil right there. We get a glimpse at what the devil offers. He says, everything in the world, everything in the world and all of the glory of everything in the world, he said, that's in my power. And to whoever I will, in other words, whoever I want to, I can give that to whoever I want to. He's only required is if you'll worship me. All you got to do is follow the devil. That is, be willing to just do things his way. And he will give it all. He'll give the world to people. But I want you to notice, what he doesn't say is this. He doesn't say, even though this world has been touched by sin, and this world is going to be destroyed, and everything in this world is going to be destroyed with it. He fails to tell people that. Yeah. He fails to say, even though what I'm giving you, you when you die, you can't take it with you. And even though what I give you is going to distract you and keep you from serving Jesus, from serving God, he doesn't tell you that. He just says, if you'll come my way, I'll give you the things of the world. But he never tells you the nature of the things in the world or the end result. He just says, come along. I notice that we're warned over and over and over about the way that he works. An example of this is found over in the book of, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And now in Ephesians, actually I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said this. He said this in verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. What does he say there? He said, now this message that we give, that we've been given from the Lord, the things that we share, this book, these words in this book, we didn't just make these up. These came from God. And when we bring this message from God unto men and women, boys and girls, young and old, when we bring this message and the meaning of the words seem hid as they come out, he says that it's no wonder that it's hid, because the God of this world, that is, the devil, he's working on the level of the spirit. He's working down on the inner parts of men and women. And what we're told is what he'll do is he will blind the minds of people with the things of this world. He'll get our hearts and get our minds caught up on just small, trivial things here in this world, so that we won't open our heart and hear and receive the things from God. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, that is the truth that has come from God, unless that would shine unto us. The old devil there, he blinds the minds. We find this about these, about the nature of us as men and women, boys and girls all. We're described, we can be just like an old road, like a blacktop road, if you will. And what is talked about is how our hearts, in our hearts, we can harden and resist what God is trying to share with us by, in this resistance, we harden ourselves against what God is saying. And what it's like is, the Lord's the one who gave this example. He said the word is like seed. Have y'all ever been around where seed was sown, a field, or maybe a yard was sown? And when you have those seeds in your hands, you know how you have to prepare the ground? You get that ground loosened up, and when you get it softened up and you throw that seed on it, that seed, when it hits, it can get down in the ground. And then, as over the process of time and rain, that seed can sprout up and grow. What the Lord said in this example, he says our hearts are like that ground. And he said that when we harden ourselves against what God is trying to share with us, that even though perhaps somebody like me or Daniel or somebody else is trying to share God's word with you, if you resist and you harden yourself against the word, you're like, rather than ground that's been loosened up, your heart is hard. And when the seed, when you throw it out on your heart, it would be like taking grass seed out here on this pavement right out here, this road, and taking and just throwing that seed on that road. How much of that seed has a chance to really sprout and turn into grass if you throw it out here on this hard road? It's not any. And what the Lord says, that is like the heart of listeners, the heart of those who that resist his word and won't consider what that is being said. And I would like to make it clear tonight that what I'm trying to share isn't so that you would think a lot of me. It's not so you would think a lot of the people here. As a matter of fact, it doesn't have anything to do with any of that. I'm trying to give you something so that you will come to God, to him. This isn't about me trying to get people to come to me. It's about me sharing word so that you will trust him. And even though I'm going to get in a vehicle and leave at some point, but God is still present and you still have to answer to him. So what I'm trying to share with you is the truth from him, so that you'll know that there are two spirits. One, that is the spirit of the Lord who deals with us, that we wouldn't harden our heart. But there's another there who is saying, don't believe that. Don't believe that. Oh, foolishness. Offering you all sorts of ideas. But I'm trying to tell you that from the word of God, greater is God than this one who is saying, don't believe that. Don't just ignore that. Oh, that's silly. That fella there, that tie looks kind of funny on him, doesn't it? Why would you even listen to him? Anything to cause you to doubt. Anything. I turn further then over in the book of Ephesians and in chapter 2. Here in Ephesians chapter 2, the word of God tells us this. Now this one, this portion of God's word, Ephesians, it was written to the church at Ephesus. Those people who lived there were called Ephesians. You know, like we live in, you live here in Arkansas. I forget what you call it if you're from Arkansas. But from Tennessee, okay. But if you're from Tennessee, we're called Volunteers Tennesseans. Oh, well, these were Ephesians. They lived at Ephesus. This letter was written to the Ephesians, specifically those Ephesians who were in the church at this place called Ephesus. Well, writing to them, he says this. He says, and you church members there, in Ephesus, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Think about this. You walk according to the course of this world. Sometimes we talk about how a river flows, or a creek. It flows in its course. And he says this, now, before you were children of God, before you were quickened by the Spirit, that word quickened means made alive. It's the only word it means. Before you were made alive, before you were spiritually born, before you were born of the Spirit, You were in this case. You were dead in your sins. You were dead out there because you hadn't found forgiveness in Jesus. He said at that time, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the devil. You walked according to this course of the world, which is according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You know where you're at if you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin? You're in a course. You're flowing right in harmony with the prince of the power of the air. You know, here is the slyness of the devil. The devil, he took the Lord up in that mountain and he showed him all the things of the world. And he said, if you'll just worship me, I'll give you these things. Here's the thing that the devil does. The devil doesn't come at us straight out. The devil is like the puppet master, standing behind and operating things to get us to love these things of the world, to get us so that in our heart we will commit ourselves, we'll let our driving passion be the things of this world, and we'll walk in harmony with what the world has to offer. You know, now rich men and women raised up, people raised up in houses where that there is, they got the silver spoon in their mouth. They got everything. Now, we look at those people and say, isn't it obvious that all that they're interested in is little riches? Isn't it obvious that all that they care about are those big fancy things that they've got and their big reputations and going and being a part of this big fancy things that's going on? Isn't that apparent? But you know, you don't have to be affluent and wealthy to do the very same thing. You can be so worried about your reputation, so worried about just the little things that's in your corner of the world, that you fill your heart with those things. And those little things that's of the world, the devil uses those day by day by day by day to draw you further and further and further along life's journey, and closer and closer and closer to that point where death must find you. Where death must find you. I ask you this. Is it not so important that we not believe every spirit, but we try the spirits whether they're of God? Because what God will say, God will tell us that if we would just surrender ourselves to Him, to give up our love for the things of the world, that if we would just come to Him, that He would lead us and make us rich with things that are going to last in eternity. He would give us things and make us rich in this life. He would be with us and comfort us on this journey that we're on, so that we're never alone inwardly. The devil, though, what the devil wants people to follow him, because he's already lost a huge battle. The devil's already lost it all. Did you know this? Jesus Christ, we hear about Jesus giving himself and dying on the cross. Did you realize that it's a historical account, it's a historical record, that when Jesus died on the cross, that the actual sun itself, it was like an eclipse occurred. That the actual sun itself stopped shining. That God, if it was, it's like He turned the light off from the sun in the middle of the day when Christ died on that cross. That's a historical fact. It's a historical account. The earth shook. Back in the temple where that the Jews had the ceremony, where that they were entrusted with keeping the law of God, the actual big curtain, as it was, a big thick curtain called the veil of the temple, that where only the high priest could go in and perform certain sacrifices, certain things for the people that God gave them to do. There were lessons in those things that they were to do, lessons which taught about what Jesus would do on the cross. You know, when Jesus died on that cross, the scripture tells us that He destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil, that the devil was cast out of heaven. when Christ died on the cross, before that the devil had access to heaven and to earth. But when he died on the cross, he cast the devil out of heaven. The devil lost right there. But he has been given permission. He's been given the opportunity to hear. The Bible gives us the warning in the Revelation. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the devil, Satan, has come among you with great wrath, and he knows that his time is short. The Lord announced this in Matthew. It's recorded. That when the final judgment takes place, those who don't know the Lord or the free pardon of sin, those who've allowed themselves to be entangled with the lies of the devil, be entangled with the things of the world. And here's the lie, the great lie that the devil's using on all of us, is that these things of the world are so precious that they deserve all of our attention. That the things here in time are so valuable that we should just forget about eternity. Reject what God has said. Reject what Jesus Christ did for us. Reject the drawing of the Spirit as the Spirit tries to warn us to heed, to hear what God has given us is in Christ. He just says, reject all of that. Reject all of that for the world. The great lie of the devil is that this world is passing away, and all he's offering us are things that are going to be burned up. What does Matthew say? The Lord, Matthew recorded what the Lord said there. He said, when we come to that point in life, at the time in our existence, when death must come and when death finds you, death is coming for us all. Death is coming for everybody here. Death found, I don't know, multitudes on the world today. You read the obituary. If you can find, we don't know what happened in China. We don't know what happened in India. Don't know what happened. Many people across the world died today, but death found them. The Lord said, and Matthew recorded it, he said, those who are not prepared, those who listen to the devil, and those who have rejected Jesus, those who ignored that we should try the spirits, that we should not allow ourselves to be led away by the devil, that we should reject the drawings of the devil and submit to Jesus. Those who have went ahead with the devil, he's going to say, depart, depart, off into hell, to that place prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not prepared for us, but that's where we're going to go if we follow the devil, if we allow his spirit to draw us, allow him through his spirit to draw us and take us away, to ignore what that the Lord has said, to be blinded by the world, to allow ourselves to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is working in the children of disobedience. If you're not saved, if you're not born again, the devil's working on you. The devil is working on you to draw you, and he is blinding your mind from the message of God. He's blinding your mind from the message of truth. He really is taking the things of this world, and he has got you to the point that you love those things to where that you won't let the message from God enter in. And let me tell you what you're going to do if you're in that condition tonight. If you go ahead and once again reject, I don't know if you've ever heard a message like this before in your life. I have no idea. But I know this. You reject this tonight. Here's what you're doing. The way the Lord describes this, he says, those people who hear the word of the kingdom and don't believe it, they are like the ones who are like that road out there. The seed, which is the word from the kingdom, the seed falls and the devil comes along and picks that seed up like a bird. Like a bird that when you've seen when show something. We used to have gardens, and one of the things you do when you plant a garden, you'd stay around the garden out there because you didn't want the birds. Seems like out there in Tennessee, there's always a big bunch of birds hanging around to see what you're sowing. And then if you don't stay around and watch, those birds will be right there and pick those seeds up. And if they pick them up and eat them, well, nothing's going to come up right there. The scripture describes us describes our hearts as the very field that the birds come along and take those seeds up. That's what the devil does. Lest you should let those enter into your heart, you believe and be saved. One of the worst things that anybody can do. Once again, I don't know anybody here. I don't know you. I mean, some of you tonight, I've never seen you before. But I want you to know this. I want you to know this. You can say, you know, I was coming down the road. I don't know what y'all believe over there at that little brick, that white cement block church over there. I don't know what y'all believe over there. I don't believe like that. I'm somewhere else. That may be what you're thinking. But I want you to know this. The message that comes from God. God is the God of every living being on the face of this planet. It doesn't matter what color the skin is.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how old, how young. God doesn't care what your mom and dad believes or maybe where you go. And that just really don't factor in. Because this message applies to everybody. It applies to everybody. And so when you get ready to leave here and you think, well, that doesn't apply to me, I want to warn you, I want to caution you, because you go on rejecting God, you go on in your rejection, you're going to die. You're going to die one day. Death is this close away from all of us. And it seems like in the least expected times, it catches us. And when death reaches out and takes hold of you, if you have rejected and rejected and rejected, and you have just thought, well, this thing about the devil, wow, that's just like that's a fairy tale. That you should start that story out with, once upon a time, there was this thing called the devil. You should start that story out just like that. I want you to know that when death takes hold of you, here's something that you're going to know. Those people who reject God, they end up in hell. And I want you to know this, that when you get there, this night will be called back to your remembrance. This night will be brought back to your attention. There's one thing about it. There's a lot of people called atheists in the world tonight. An atheist is somebody who says they don't believe there is a God. Let me tell you this. When they die, they're no longer an atheist. Everybody believes in God after they die.
Yeah.
Because they're in hell asking for His help and hearing that they're never going to get it. Help is available now from the Lord. That man, Jesus, has the help that we all need. I want to tell you that as an eight-year-old boy, the Spirit of the Lord came by me. I was sitting in a church house. There's more people here tonight than there were at that place where I was at. The preacher told me about Jesus. He told me about being lost, about what it was to be away and separated from God. He told me about that. And the Spirit of God came by on my heart to me, waking me up to where I stood with God. I believe that. I didn't push it away. I believed that was right. But when I believed that, the Lord let me know I was lost. And it was like I was out in darkness. But the message from God about Jesus isn't just about us being lost. It's also, that message also tells about His Son there, who will save everybody who will believe in Him. So even though I was out there and the Spirit was saying, you're lost, that Spirit also said, there's deliverance in Jesus. I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. And somewhere down in here, down in this area right here, when I believe with this right here, that peace that comes from God, God saved my soul right there. He said He delivered me. He changed me. I can't even describe exactly what it was like. But God saved me right there. And when I hear about death coming, and death being just that far away from me, that He's going to reach out and take hold of me one day, that don't scare me. It don't scare me that I might end up in hell. You know why? Because as that eight-year-old boy, I believed. And when I believed down in here, what the Lord did for me, it took that fear away. That fear is gone because of what God did right down in here. I want you to know it's real. It's real. I'm telling you my personal, if I was called before the judge to testify and to witness to something I saw, and I was held to it, on pains of being thrown in prison, Mike Bronner, you tell us the truth. I'm going to tell you, on pains of going into eternity, on pains of, I would risk going off into eternity. I would risk going off to eternity and the possibility that there's a hell there. I risk all of that because I got saved. I was born again as an 8-year-old boy. And I'm here to tell you that that same God who saved me, that same God, he says that same salvation is available for everybody. Everybody. But you better try the spirits. You better listen. I'm warning you. I'm warning you on authority of the Word of God.
Yeah.
On God's authority, I warn you.
Yeah.
I warn you. I warn you. Don't let the devil lead you off into hell. I warn you on the authority of this book from God. What are you going to do? Let's have a song.
I'm through.
Let's have a song. If you're here tonight and you're lost, oh, won't you seek the Lord? Seek Him because you need Him. Seek Him while He may be found. Let's all stand up together and sing.
130.